And welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, going out live on 26 AM FM stations worldwide through the American Freedom Radio Network. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. We've got a guest on the line here with us today, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Shannon Phipps, and he's a radio DJ hostish type dude, and he's pretty awesome. He's had me on his radio show at KFM in Auckland before, and we had a very, very spectacular time. And we approached a question of argument before about the recent story of a Mr. Ken Ring trying to predict earthquakes with like looking at the moon and celestial bodies, things of that nature, which appear to a lot of people in the scientific community as unscientific. And Shannon was completely appalled at the concept of a scientific community was indeed under attack or not being listened to in this particular case. So we invited him to come on the show to speak his piece. And if I'm correct, here he is, Shannon Phipps. Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
You know.
Hello.
Borderlining on fabulous is my party line. So remember, in this election, vote fabulous.
Borderlining on fabulous.
Yeah. I haven't quite achieved fabulousness yet. But now that you're here.
Don't talk it up. I'm just a guy.
Just a guy. Well, could you just introduce us? Because we've just got a little short segment here, and we'll get into the major discussion next segment, and we'll really give you the floor here. So, fire away, mate. Plug your websites and your show and all of that stuff out of the way.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, like I say, I'm just a guy, so I don't tend to any websites or anything. I have a radio show on KFM 106.9, which is our one of the local low-power FM stations, one of the best, lovely studio that we have. And really all I do is play music, and if something comes up in discussion, you know, I'll invite someone up who's intrigued me about it or seems to be up to play, and maybe have a bit of a chat with them. It's about all I do. So I have a show on Saturday mornings about 10 to 12. So there you were a couple of weeks ago, Vinny. And, last week we were talking about John Campbell versus Ken Ring, and that was, I do admit, that was quite a bloody interview. John Campbell was quite on the attack, and honestly, in John Campbell's defence, though, he probably didn't really want to do the interview at all anyway, but I guess his producers or whoever, you know, decided he had to do it because it was kind of topical at the time, and, you know, it was something to talk about. It was kind of interesting. But what really surprised me was the anti-scientific sentiment that came out afterwards. It transpired there were a lot of people who were sort of tend to be quite not only disagreeing with science, but quite not trusting of science at all, which I found quite disturbing, actually. I remember
debate. Should we trust the climate change science, though?
What's Shannon? That, sorry?
Should we trust the climate change science and all that mainstream science?
Do we trust the climate change science? Well,
there are a lot
of scientists working on that sort of stuff, and to be honest, there's a lot of misinformation out there as well, as you would know, and a lot of it's, I would say, sponsored by special interests or whatever.
And we'll be right back after this very short break, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest from KFM is Shannon Phipps. You can listen to his Saturday morning breakfast show at kfm.co.nz. And we'll be right back after this short break. Divided we fall.
Yeah, and no one like me. Yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know can flow like this? Like this? Like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com going out live on 26 AM FM stations worldwide. We're bringing you information and decent debate, actually, that you generally just don't see. Because our society is so pathetic and full of dumbasses that they can't be bothered having a decent debate, even if the people that they bring on disagree with them. And on this particular case, we have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen, from KFM in Auckland, one of these spankinest little fabulous radio stations in there. His name is Shannon Phipps, and he hosts the Saturday Breakfast Show. Shannon, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny.
Okay.
So where were we?
We were talking about the subject of science itself and how in the wake of the Ken Ring interview on Campbell Live, some people have been saying that there is somewhat of a, shall we call, rampant anti-scientific discourse, I believe would be the au naturel way to put it. And I'd like to know what your perspective is on this, Shannon.
That's right, Vinny. Not only anti-science, but anti-intellectual. I really do see it as a dumbing down. You see, science can help us be better skeptics and figure out when we're being lied to. For instance, I was talking to a good friend of mine a couple of nights ago. He was trying to bring chemtrails to my attention, and I guess that's something that a lot of your listeners will be familiar with, the idea of chemtrails. There's still people disagreeing about what they actually do. Now, I'd like to say that that is another area where a little bit of science could help you understand what's actually going on here. When you look up in the sky at a contrail and it spreads out in the way that a lot of people have been showing me, you know, in videos and photos and that, it's spreading out in the sort of pattern of a cirrus cloud, which is usually the sort of cloud that hangs up in the upper atmosphere. And when you see that sort of thing happening, you'll usually see a few cirrus clouds up there anyway. Now, my good friend showed me a sort of a graph that showed molecular weight against occurrence in a particular chemtrail, as he called it. And one of the points of interest was a spike around about the point of dihydrogen monoxide. Now, anyone with any scientific knowledge at all, even to form one...
That's water, you know, yes, 12-year-old, that's
water. Exactly, it's water. So why has this come to my attention? Well, alarm bells ring, right, when someone hears chemtrail or whatever, and we're all meant to crap ourselves in fear.
Because they contain aluminium and barium oxides also. I mean, chemtrails, what chemtrails may or may not do...
How do you know that?
We can't know.
How do you know? Have you been up there to measure it for yourself? Has anyone that you know been up there to measure it for yourself? Where have you pulled that information from?
Well, can I answer this, or do you want to go on?
I'll answer it. Okay. Because it's not good enough to say we had the makers on. I know these people, they don't trust anyone. Shannon, this is the argument that says, if you haven't gone and seen the bottom of the ocean, the bottom of the ocean is not there. If you haven't gone and landed on the moon's not there, because who are you trusting? It all comes down to trust at the end of the day. Chemtrails have been reported. These samples have been reported to contain heavy metal oxides. You either trust it or you don't, or you go out there and get chemtrailed yourself and look at it yourself. But, I mean, chemtrails do it. are you going to say that a contrail of water vapor lasts all day?
They do last a long time. But here's my thing. What is the point of them? Okay, some people say they're up there to create rain. Now, if that was the case, why are we still having droughts? We do have droughts, and Australia had a massive drought up in Northland just this year. They were in drought conditions. Surely that would help. Okay, and the other argument is, maybe they'd have poisoned people. No, listen to me. Maybe they'd have poisoned people, okay? If they were going to spray to poison people, they would be done at a much lower level with smaller aircraft. Up there, there's a chance of it drifting for thousands of miles.
This is the thing, Shannon.
Okay, and let's move on to something else.
You apply. Say there's.
Let's forget chemtrails for a minute. Let's forget chemtrails for a minute and move on to some key misconceptions about science.
Shannon, all I'm saying is, mate, if you apply your logic, this is what people do. I say 9/11 was an inside job, and then people say, it couldn't have been. Look, there were far easier ways you could have brought those buildings down. There were far more simple ways. And so you apply a logic, a scientific reason, to what might be an illogical system where someone has done something in a roundabout illogical way to evade that very notion being thought possible. I mean, you don't understand the complexities of black ops or of reverse psychology, even. I mean, it's just...
Don't tell me that. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about science.
We're talking about politics as well as science. That's what you have to realize, because who pays these guys?
Yes, and of course, so there is also the difficulty here, because each subject kind of branches into many others. And
that's right.
The thing is,
we could go off on tangents all day. So let's narrow this back down. By your logic, Will, you're saying keep an open mind about everything. Now, incontrovertible truth doesn't exist for absolutely everything. We could sit around all day and wait for dinosaurs to appear because someone says they're a dinosaur.
If chemtrails exist, you'll believe them because they're official, right?
And the
Sunday program... You believe in Iceland. Have
the Sunday program on New Zealand mainstream television has done stories on chemtrails as well.
What, on the History Channel?
No. The Sunday program, here in New Zealand.
The German News, the Defence Department admitted to it. The German News admitted to it. The German Defence admitted to it. And it was in the Space Preservation Act of 2001 also.
Introduced to the House of Congress by Congressman Dennis Kucinich, chemtrails were number two on the list of things that he wanted to reband or something.
I agree,
like that.
They do need to be investigated, Shannon. I do agree that there needs to be a scientific investigation. But you know what? You won't get it, because the George Soros-backed scientists, the Al Gore-backed, the mainstream university-backed guys are never going to look into it because of their interests. This is the world we live in. Sorry, it's compromised.
Okay, well, that's great, but there's so much misinformation surrounding it. I mean, I went and did, because I wanted to believe as well, so I went to have a bit of a look, and so many of these websites claiming to know everything about chemtrails shoot themselves in the foot by losing credibility. One such chap was talking about coming out of a dowsing conference and looking up in the sky and seeing a chemtrail. Well, if you come out of a dowsing conference, you already have lost my credibility completely. What dowsing? You know what dowsing is, right? So he's already
when you have a stick that for some reason just points down and finds water. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing.
That's right. Now that's the more pseudoscientific babble. Hell, I wouldn't even give it that distinction. That's nonsense.
Shannon, how about this? It's like people arguing, why did they carry out 9/11? Some people say, they didn't. It was just to go to war for oil, or it was for this, that, and the other, or they used a nuke, or they used this. The point of the matter is, those buildings came down, and it had some government involvement, some intelligence involvement. It didn't come down due to Arabs on planes and a kerosene fire. I mean, we can know that much. Well, the rest we can't necessarily know. All the motives we can't know, because guess what? We don't work for these cabals who did it. And so the same thing with chemtrails, whether it's used to ionize the atmosphere so that HAARP can be more effective, whether they're used for radar jamming purposes only, whether they're used for oil exploration, whether they're used for earthquake generation, whether they're used to ionize the upper atmosphere, whether they're used to slow down
Okay, we could go on all day about that and lose our brains
matter.
By keeping our minds...
Whether they're happening or not.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can keep your mind open about that all day, but really, you're just not going to focus. I mean,
speculate
about this crap all day, and
so what do you want to focus on?
Any actual real information that we can use comes out. What's the point? Okay, so let's get back on track here about science and our distrust of it. I was one of you guys brought up to me yesterday, last week, that science is biased. Now, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Science is biased. That's crazy.
Science itself is not.
How can it be biased? Tell me.
Can I take this one, Will? The pharmaceutical industry, for example, with scientific tests in order to prove the effectiveness of a medication, you need to do, for example, double-blind tests, and you need to be able to replicate effects of scientific methods in a lab, for example, whereas the Diagnostic Statistical Manual is based upon opinion where people put up their hands to say, yes, this drug is safe and effective, when they have no double-blind tests and they haven't even passed placebo tests. Now, this is because the scientists at the panels of FCC have one or more, and in some cases up to 16 financial connections to the pharmaceutical industry. Now, these are people who psychiatry isn't a science, for a lot of people would agree. But there's the same principle. It's like you have the regulatory ability of scientific communities that are under the pay and influence of companies who have a profit margin riding on their very decisions. Now, that's where corruption comes into the scientific community. That's my point, is that that specific type of corruption exists across the spectrum. Every single scientific community out there, I would wager, has at least one or two or more reasons to not be forthcoming with their specific scientific results.
Okay. I'd say don't wager on that, because what you're talking about there is the pharmaceutical industry. Now, yes, they do have vested interest in keeping certain things secret. It's not truly the scientific community that we're talking about. Okay. Now we were talking earlier about climate science. Now a lot of climate science, admittedly, don't agree. Now that's the beauty. That is how science cannot be biased, because scientists don't agree. Then surely that's a good thing, right? Okay. Because they're having disputes, they're having discussions, they have.
That's not in the public domain. That's not in the public domain, is it?
Yeah, you're right.
All the public cares is the man-made climate change side of things, and 4,500 agree with the UN when they don't. It's a total lie.
Yeah, and that's the difficulty as well, Shannon, is that when 500 or even 1,500 people resign from the IPCC in disgust and say that the panel misused their findings and cherry-picked their scientific evidence in order to convince the public that there was climate change, that kind of information is not public knowledge. But whereas climate change caused this hurricane, that kind of hurricane, there's no real causal link between specifically the amount of CO2 coming into the air through human activity and the exact effect on say storms and things like that. So again, there's this disparity between what scientists actually say and what they say consensus is, because consensus is no form of science. You can't get mathematicians around to agree on consensus.
I want to ask you, Shannon.
Can I just finish? You can't get mathematicians around, for example, and agree based on a consensus opinion that 2 plus 2 now equals 5. You can't do that, because it has to work. The formula has to stand up by itself for itself.
Yeah.
So this is the difficulty that I feel that the scientific community, in a large part, is being corrupted by various items in order to basically just put food on their table at the very least. I mean, if you have any desire to make money off of science, relate one of your studies that you're doing to climate change. You will get money quicker than you can say Fat Sam.
Okay, now what was your point there, Will?
Well, I mean, you inferred that we were, you didn't infer, you said it, that we are anti-intellectual and anti-science. What, for having our own conjecture ourselves as weighing in on the scientific debate?
But in a
Facebook comment, you explicitly said that. And you said at the start of this conversation too, you said there's an anti-intellectual air about this discourse. And I mean, we're far from that. The rest of society largely is anti-intellectual. I'm all for broadening our horizons. We don't claim to know everything here on the show. This is why we have you on the show. We're trying to form debates. But, I mean, what do you really think science is based in? I mean, when you talk about the empirical method, are you aware of people like Francis Bacon?
Of course. I've heard of Francis Bacon. All I'm trying to get at here is that scientists aren't forming theories and then just sweeping the evidence under the carpet. You just can't do that. Once something is out in the open, it's out in the open. It's free to the public.
Hey, they all said lead additive fuel was safe. They said cigarettes were safe. They were
lobbied.
They
said DDT was safe. They said Agent Orange was safe. There's a myriad of different things where the science has been proven to be fraudulent, but because the companies that are funding the scientific studies and data have a vested interest in ensuring
Go ahead. Once again, you're talking about commerce corrupting science.
That's my real concern.
About.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the scientific method. I mean, if it's applied as it's supposed to be, you know, with evidence weighed up and whatever, the only thing that I'm really saying here is that the scientific community is prone to corruption depending on how much money there has to be made by
the results. We've got that established, everyone. I think Shannon's saying something else to me. I think Shannon is saying that science in and of itself is a pure thing, but I would argue that just like communism, it doesn't happen, it isn't carried out in a pure way, because there are different minds and different views and perspectives on this planet. So science cannot be pure, because everyone has an agenda. That's one thing we should all learn growing up. Everyone has an agenda, including me.
And that's scientific fact.
So what do you think, Shannon?
Yeah, you're right, Will. How can
science work purely in such a world?
How can science work purely in such a world? Well, you know, it's all about trust. But look,
So we've got to trust the New World Order guys, all the big money and all their corps and George Soros. We've got to trust him.
Why are you banging on George Soros? That's what Glenn Beck does.
Just because Glenn Beck rails on someone, I can't refer to the person without being related to Glenn Beck. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. Well, that's not scientific, rational thought. I mean, come on, no, have another stab at that. I'm ripping on George Soros because he's the main financier of this whole climate change scientific movement, where all these scientific, logical people in our universities believe in man-made global warming. They're idiots. They're total idiots.
Okay, but that doesn't mean there's any harm in reducing our carbon emissions.
Well, the thing is, carbon emissions are linked to life. It's one of the four building blocks of life in every single human activity, from breathing to building houses to driving cars to fertilizing crops, produces carbon dioxide. Our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Sharon Phipps from KFM. And after the break, we're going to be joined for a little panel-ish discussion with Benjamin Fulford live from the earthquake zone in Japan right after the break, coming up on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about history repeating itself, because we just keep coming on every day. well, we have kind of a panel discussion. I'm not sure if Will's too happy about this, because he wanted you all to himself, Shannon, to talk about this kind of scientific premise and principle. But considering the opening subject of the discussion was Ken Ring predicting earthquakes with the proximity of celestial bodies, one thing that I was thinking would be a really good idea is having on Benjamin Fulford, who's in Japan right now, and he is now saying that the quake was caused on purpose as part of a covert operation to seize control of the world's economy. We welcome him now to the show. Benjamin, welcome to the program.
Yeah, what's happening is, you see, finance at its very, very highest level is the process of deciding what we do in the future as a species. Okay, if you have a money printing machine, it's like you're God, okay? You can buy all the scholars you want and all the goons you want and all the newspapers you want, and you can control the story that everybody, you know, runs on. Like, they create a theme, like war on terrorism or global warming, and then they make everybody go along with it. The problem is that the people who've been doing this, okay, they believe that they're stuck in a cycle. They keep repeating these. It's like a loop. They think that they need to kill 4 to 6 billion people and have a population of only 500 million in eternal harmony with nature. And what our side is saying is that is scientific nonsense, and it's morally wrong. And what we really need to do is free up the non-dangerous parts of the 6,000 patents that have been suppressed for so-called national security reasons. And this basically means free energy and technology to extend human life. And if we do that, we can do things like turn the Canada into a tropical paradise. We can make 10 times more fish in the oceans. And if we achieve harmony with nature, and we end poverty, then I believe they will finally let us off this planet. I am under the impression that this planet is under some kind of embargo. You know, all this, if you remember back in the 70s, we went to the moon, then we're going to go to Mars, and we're all supposed to be in the space by in other planets by the year 2000, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we interviewed Brian O'Leary, former astronaut. He was part of the Mars program, and then it was cancelled allegedly due to the Vietnam War.
We're under embargo. I guarantee you, they're stopping us. I've heard this from Pentagon people. I've heard this from all sorts of people, and it just makes sense. I mean, what we know for sure is that we can't go to the local spaceport and get a ticket to another planet. It's not there. And we also know that we're making a mess of this planet. And if I were an alien superior being watching over this planet, I'd say these people are dangerous, and we shouldn't let them out of that planet because they're going to go and destroy the universe. So until we clean up our act, we end war, we end poverty, and we stop destroying the environment, we're going to be stuck here on this hellhole of a planet. And the people who currently control the planet are very powerful, and they have a lot of people working for them, and they have a lot of big weapon systems, and they will do anything they can not to give up power and control. And this is what is going on. It's a battle over our future, and that's why they're attacking and trying to cause chaos. They wanted to create an artificial Armageddon. And their scenario, crazy as it sounds, and you can read this in Israeli newspapers, you know, and so you know it's true. They want to have a scenario where they get Gog and Magog, and I forget which is which, but, you know, Russia, China, and Iran will fight the United States and Europe, and 90% of people will die, and then they will control the other people as slaves. This is their plan, and we're trying to stop that because we think that's horrific. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, man. We were just enthralled. and specifically, I mean, in terms of the breaking news, Benjamin, I mean, you're in Japan at the moment. What city are you in? How far away from you are the earthquake? Did you feel the shaking at all yesterday?
I'm in Tokyo, and I could feel it. I mean, you know, I have a fish tank in front of my house, and about one-third of the water sloshed out.
Wow.
You know, so that gives you an idea of how much we were shaken. But, you know, we're not in the center. I mean, I had some books fall off shelves and stuff like that, but that's about it. All the houses around here are fine.
What is the media or your contacts saying about the quake?
I mean, you can see it. I mean, it's on the television. You have tsunamis, and fortunately, I mean, considering the size, I shouldn't say fortunately because more than 80,000 people are dead, but considering the size of the earthquake, the Japanese are the most earthquake-prepared people on Earth, and they've managed a pretty good job of evacuating most people, and they're expecting more, and they're ready for more. I know, for example, that the gas is shut off in my house. They shut off the gas because they don't want fires in the event of an earthquake. And, you know, I'm hearing that there's going to be more. This is just the beginning. And for the next week or so, it could happen everywhere. And the other thing is that there is some connection with this supermoon that's coming up on March 19th. It's a supermoon is when you have a full moon and when it's closest to the planet Earth. And that creates an enormous gravitational pull. And that's also linked to this. But there are technologies. I mean, HARP is one that's, you know, been well publicized at this point. And another is something invented by a guy called Wilhelm Reich. And what they do is they set up these kind of feedback loops of vibration. I don't know exactly how the science works, but they are able to create earthquakes with humans making the decision to do so, not some god or some celestial being.
We've had quite a few people on the show commenting on that, including a man from New Zealand yesterday who really broke down the HARP situation quite well, we think. Now, we've been having a debate on this show with our good friend Shannon Phipps from KFM here in New Zealand about the sort of anti-scientific, anti-intellectual sort of monologue that's been coursing through society and to do with conspiracy theories and things of that nature. There was a dude called Ken Ring who allegedly predicted the Christchurch quake that we've just had down in New Zealand, Ben. I'm sure you've heard of that. And he predicted it using the moon and the celestial positioning to say that there's going to be a lot of push and pull sort of on the Earth at that point. And it's cascaded open a entire debate about whether or not science is valid, and this, and again, like I said, anti-scientific discourse. And I'd like to know what your take is. If Shannon, are you still on the line there with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So, because I'd like your comments on this too, Benjamin, could you please divulge?
I think that ultimately you have to see it to believe it 100%. You have to trust your own eyes and your own senses. Hold on 3 seconds. Hi, Mush.
Oh, so Shannon, go ahead, and I'd like to hear your take on this as well. In the meantime,
okay. I must admit, Benjamin has some very interesting things to say there. But again, this idea that either the moon or the HARP situation had something to do with this completely belittles all of our knowledge of geoscience, which I must say is just preposterous.
Okay, Benjamin, what's your response to that?
A geoscientist, and I don't claim to be one. I am a journalist. And if you're a journalist, and if you write something that's not true, they're going to sue your ass off, and you're going to have to pay a lot of money. That means that you have to do some very thorough fact-checking. Okay? Now, so I'll tell you what I know factually. I talked to someone in Pentagon military intelligence, and he told me that a gentleman by the name of Thad Allen from the Rand Corporation and 8 congressmen were in Christchurch, New Zealand, and they left 2 hours before the earthquake happened. That's the facts. I don't know anything more than that. You can speculate that it was a coincidence, or perhaps, some people say, they do have earthquake weapons. There are, you know, government documents that have been released by the U.S. government, official documents showing that they were contemplating attacking Japan with earthquake weapons towards the end of World War II. This is U.S. government documents, declassified, okay? So when I say something, I have to prove it, and it has to hold up in a court of law. And that is, as far as I'm concerned, as good as science. But when I don't know something, I don't pretend to know. I don't know exactly scientifically how HAARP works or if it works, but I know that many people in the government in responsible positions of power have told me such a thing exists and it works. And I have a rough outline of how it works in my mind, but not if you want to get right down to the final technical details, then I'm not a scientist and I can't do it, but there are scientists out there who can. The patents are out there on the for the HAARP machine, and you can examine them and scientifically test them.
So it is there whether or not you choose to believe it or not, and that's the difficulty. Even if you don't know the understanding of something, you still know that it's there. Like gravity, for example. If I was to try and jump off my balcony now, I'd go straight down to the ground. And even if I didn't believe in gravity, and this is one of the arguments we have here. What's your response to that, Shannon, or even Will? You've been kind of quiet.
Yeah, well, that's right. Gravity's we could say it's just a theory, but we can test it. We can test it, and it works the same every time. We always fall at the same rate, and different objects of different sizes and different weights, they all fall at the same rate, and we can test it over and over and again. What I really am worried about is speculation over ideas that that the moon or perhaps some weapons facility is causing some. We can't test those things. Now, as we've seen, I am fairly certain. I am so certain, in fact, we can completely discount Ken Ring's claims, because this earthquake that happened in Japan yesterday was completely in the middle of a new and a full moon, exactly to the day. So it doesn't stand up.
Well, did he ever say that every earthquake all over the planet's got to be linked to a lunar cycle, though? I mean, he just was talking about...
Well, this is his theory. This is his theory, and it doesn't stack up.
But is it the only factor that weighs into it,
though? And this is what I was trying to tell you guys last week.
No, the moon's a real thing, though. Does it affects gravity, it affects tides, therefore it's real. Are you saying the moon doesn't have any gravitational effect on the Earth?
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Ken Ring's theory doesn't stack up, because what he said isn't...
Straw man here. You're attacking a straw man. I'm not the moon theorist, okay?
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, no, no,
your
no,
name
Benjamin,
Ken Ring?
Benjamin, this is in regards to a previous topic that we're covering. There was a guy named Ken Ring who supposedly claims to have predicted the Christchurch earthquake that happened in New Zealand shortly ago. Go ahead, Shannon. Continue with your point.
Okay, so let's look at... There was a very good article, actually. I might have pointed this one out to you, Vinny, last week on SciBlogs, which outlined some of Ken's predictions. Now, earlier, he had already predicted the window of the 15th to the 25th of February for a 7-plus earthquake. Now, what actually happened was a 6.3 earthquake. So that was wrong. I'm sure no one...
A lot closer than the mainstream media, though, isn't it?
What's that, sorry?
It's a lot closer than any mainstream scientist or mainstream media prediction, isn't it, though?
No, in fact, the scientific community had already speculated that there was a 6-magnitude quake on the way, but I don't think anyone's sort of going to argue about the damage.
But no date given.
And see, and it's such a confusing one. Final segment coming up. Our guest, Benjamin Fulford, former writer for Forbes magazine, coming to us live from the earthquake zone in Japan, in Tokyo. And also on the line, we have Shannon Phipps from KFM in Auckland. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, New Zealand's fastest 2 hours in talk radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Two very special guests on the line here. I'm just going to suss out what the format is here. Now, Benjamin, Oh, sorry. Benjamin Fulford, former writer for Forbes magazine, is on the line with us from the earthquake zone, Tokyo in Japan. And for the first 5 minutes of this segment, we're going to have him break down the evidence of alive and active and working earthquake producing technologies in this world. And finally, we're going to sum up with a minute or so from Shannon Phipps here in New Zealand, talking about anti-scientific discourse. And finally, me and Will will wrap up the show. So, Benjamin, you have the floor. Please lay it on us, brother.
Let me tell you why I got started researching earthquake weapons. I'm originally a financial journalist, and I was exposing high-level financial crimes. And I was told, I was exposing corruption by Japanese finance, former finance minister Heizo Takenaka. And I got called in by some people from the Japanese Public Security Agency. And they said, because of what you wrote about David Rockefeller and these people, there's going to be an earthquake in Niigata Prefecture tomorrow. I have a tape recording of this. I put the date and who I'm talking to, and I put the recorder in front of these people because that's what you have to do as a journalist in case they sue you for libel later. You can prove you're not lying. And the next day, lo and behold, there were two 6.8 earthquakes right exactly dead center on Japan's largest nuclear reactor, which was not in an earthquake zone. I confirmed this with Tokyo Electric Power. So then I did, and then they took me, these same people called me, and they showed me a video of a plasma ball in the air that was filmed in Niigata prior to the earthquake. And that's when I started doing the research, and I looked for public documents and evidence. And there was a lot of evidence out there. I've mentioned one. The earliest is the declassified documents about attacking Japan with earthquake weapons using some kind of nuclear-type detonation on the ocean floor at the end of World War II. And then you have a lot of very suspicious things happening. When you talk about people predicting stuff, well, if they're going to cause it, they can predict it. For example, if you go back and look at the news and you see what happened with the tsunami in Indonesia, you'll find out that the U.S. Army already had a fleet filled with aid material waiting before the earthquake happened. Usually you have to put tents and stuff into a boat and you have to go across the ocean, but they're already there. The same thing with Myanmar. There was a fleet waiting there with aid before the big storm came and hit people. Okay, so there is plenty of evidence out there. That's when I started looking at HAARP, and then I heard about a guy called Wilhelm Reich who also had some technology of this sort. And I realized that it has to do with the electromagnetic spectrum, and it has to do with the ionosphere, and it can also be done with explosions at key points on the fault lines. So it's not fantasy. It's not non-scientific. This is something that they try to, you know, associate this kind of stuff with UFOs and crazy things so that people won't believe it, because that's their tactic. They don't want you to know this. if you were going to talk about a nuclear weapon before the first bomb was set off, all sorts of goons would come your way and try to stop you from talking about it. And that's the same thing with what they consider to be classified military technology. They don't want people to know they have an earthquake weapon, because then everyone will say, well, that's very morally wrong to go kill hundreds of thousands of people just because you want to get access to their oil or whatever it is they're after. By the way, I've heard that they want to New Zealand to hand over their South Island to 1 million refugees from the United States, who are probably going to be kicked out by the Americans when they find out all the horrific things they've been doing to the American people. And the New Zealanders quite rightly said, no, we don't want you. You're a bunch of criminals, and we're not welcome here. They did the same with they also asked for Tasmania, and they're not getting that either. This is a situation.
And after this request was made, a day later, the earthquake struck by chance?
Yeah. check the airplane records and see that Thad Allen and 8 congressmen were in Christchurch, New Zealand. And that's not a place where, you know, high-powered congressmen normally go, and not 8 of them. And they left 2 hours before the earthquake. That much I can prove. The rest, I cannot. I don't know.
But because we can't prove things, what does Shannon think about this?
All right.
I mean, we can't speculate because we can't prove anything.
Final word, Shannon.
Okay, that's the danger, and I'm hearing things.
Is it dangerous to have open minds?
Well, let him speak, please.
Well, that's great, Will, keeping an open mind. But like Benjamin said, a lot of information that would be valuable is always tends to be tempered with pseudoscience and babble, like UFOs, he mentioned, things that sort of turn people off, especially me, for instance. You know, there I was reading about chemtrails.
Your own inhibitions.
Sorry?
If information turns you off, it just shows your own inhibitions.
Mate, if someone is talking about some pseudo-religious babble in amongst all this, I am going to switch off because that's crazy talk.
How do you know it's babble?
Hey,
Have you disproved God?
No, I haven't, but I'm a very strong disbeliever. Science has freed me from superstition and believing in horse crap like that. Okay.
Yeah, but the founders of science believed in it all, and they still do, and that's what you're yet to catch up with. The founders of science all believed in a higher power because science is nothing but a toolkit to understand the material 3D world around us. It's not the ultimate explanation, but you're yet to work that out, so good luck, Shannon.
Okay.
You're a combative nutcase, Will. Okay, goodbye, guys. Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Two minds just can't get through to each other. Well, that's fine. I'm just going to leave it at that.
All right. Thank you, Shannon, very much for your time. Benjamin, final phrase before we end the show for today, please.
Science magazines are all owned by a very small group of people, and they censor a lot of articles. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
That's right. Censorship is a fabulous part of our society. Without it, it would change the world as we know it and love it. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'd like to thank extremely much our fabulous guest that we've had on this week, and particularly today. I've really enjoyed the debate and the discussion myself, and a lot of our listeners agree with me. They've been messaging me and stuff telling me so that's good to see, and hopefully we'll get these archives up soon as possible. And Benjamin, I hope that you'll come on with us again next week to give us another update of the Japanese situation. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can catch up with our archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll see you again sometime.